Nina, dear, I hope you don't take offense. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Mina definitely looks overwhelmed. Nadine brings out this giant turkey, the kind you roast for Thanksgiving. It's the kind they always label young turkey, which makes you wonder how epic old turkeys must be. Everything gets passed around, and I feel strangely self-conscious. I think it's sympathetic self-consciousness. I think I feel it on behalf of Cassie. Or maybe Mina. God, poor Mina.
So you live in Bethesda? Nadine asks. That's a fun place.
Mina smiles faintly.
I don't know if I'd call it fun.
Mom, fun is like H Street, Cassie says.
Not true, Nadine says. Fun exists wherever you make it. Am I right, Xavier Zave?
Xavier is currently mashing a slice of peach into his hair.
He looks a lot like you, Mina says, looking back and forth between Zave and Nadine.
Aw, thanks, Nadine says.
Told you, Cassie says. He's her mini-me. People notice that all the time. Xavier looks so much like Nadine, and Patty's old pictures look exactly like Cassie.
I'm the oddball.
I secretly think I must look like the donor, but I've never seen a picture of him. Of course, Grandma always says I look like her. I don't exactly see it, but she loves to bring it up. And sure enough,
you know, Molly is the spitting image of me at 17. But of course, I was very thin at that age.
She loves to bring that up, too.
I used to be a model for Macy's department store. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow, Mina says.
And I always tell Molly, you're a little saftic, of course, but you have a lovely face. Isn't she lovely?
Definitely, Mina says, nodding. But Patty says,
Mom, stop it,
in this warning tone. So Grandma makes a big show of snapping her mouth shut and winking at me. And I think I might cry. I might actually cry. I can't believe I'm sitting at this table pretending things are normal while my grandmother calls me fat. Right to my face. I know what saftic means. She's even called me that before. But saying it in front of Cassie's gorgeous new girlfriend makes it a million times worse.
You know, my friend Sylvia's granddaughter is at Columbia,
Grandma says quietly, leaning in close.
She's a beautiful girl. Her name is Esther.
That's great. Grandma rests a hand on my elbow.
In New York? You know, Columbia's in Manhattan, dear. And in New York, they have this exercise program. I think it's on the DVD. And Esther just puts it on and does it right in her dorm room.
Okay.
She just loves it.
I nod slowly. I think every cell in my body freezes in place. I notice Cassie and Mina are listening in.
You should think about it, Mamala. You know, I'll tell you what I wish someone had told me, she says. It gets harder and harder to lose.
Grandma does this sometimes. Half the time she's totally cool, and half the time she makes me want to disappear.
When you're young, it's easy, she continues. Just be a little more careful. Leave half of everything on your plate, and you should talk to Esther. She really loves her program. You know, she lost 20 pounds.
Okay.
And now she has a boyfriend.
Cassie swallows a chunk of turkey and drops her fork with a clatter. Yeah, no. That's not okay. My cheeks are burning. It's fine.
It's not fine.
She raises her voice.
Grandma, stop saying this shit to Molly. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't talk to her like that. Molly doesn't mind, right?
Grandma says, patting my arm. I don't mind, I say.
Yes, you do, Cassie says quietly.
And I do. It's seriously stupid, but I do mind. It's just that every time Grandma says this stuff, I freeze up. But now Nadine and Patty have caught wind of the conversation.
Mom, stop it. We've talked about this. I'm just trying to be helpful.
This isn't helpful.
Patricia, it's a health issue. You know that.
Betty, Nadine says, setting her fork down. She glances at Patty. Cassie presses her foot against mine under the table, but I can barely process it. I feel hot and cold all at once. It's hard to explain. I mean, I know I'm fat. It's not a secret. Kyle Donner used to whisper the word gorda in my ear every day of eighth grade Spanish. And once, Danielle Aldred asked me if I was worried I'd crush a guy during sex. In seventh grade. She actually asked that. So I should be used to it. Still, it always throws me a little bit when people say stuff about my body. I guess I want to believe no one notices I'm fat. Or that I'm somehow pretty and fat all at once, like a torrid model. I don't know. Anyway, Cassie's still fuming, and Mina's staring awkwardly at her plate, and now Patty is escorting Grandma into the living room. I can't hear what she's saying, but I can hear snippets of Grandma's replies. Small portions. Something to think about. Let's pretend that didn't just happen, Cassie says, shaking her head. Want to help me clear the table, Momo? Nadine asks. I nod and start stacking plates. Nadine wraps me in a one-armed hug as soon as I step into the kitchen. Hey, you okay? Yeah. That was some pretty fucked up shit from Grandma. Don't even listen to her, okay? She shakes her head. Let it roll off your back. Mina starts bringing in plates and dishes, even though Nadine tells her to go relax. But she insists on helping. It's that dance people do. Like when I was little, we'd go to restaurants with our relatives, and Nadine and Uncle Albert would argue over the check. Abby and I thought it was the funniest thing. Our parents would go back and forth more and more insistently, and my God, you freaking grown-ups, it's a free meal, let it happen! But I get it now. Maybe I'm more of an adult than I realized. Cassie follows behind Mina, holding Xavier. So, Molly made us cookie dough in mason jars, she says. She opens the fridge to show Mina. Oh my God, you made these? I smile shyly. Aren't they so cute? She sets Xavier down, holding his hands up while he toddles. Like, if it was me, I'd have put a big glop of it in a Ziploc bag and been like, here you go. It was super easy, I say. This is literally the greatest dessert I have ever seen. Mina says, looking odd. We end up carrying all the jars and a bunch of spoons into the living room, and I feel my cheeks go red when I see Grandma. Like, now I'm supposed to eat dessert in front of her. Though there's a part of me that wants to plant myself beside her and make her watch me do it. Dare her to say something. But it's cool to see how excited Mina is about the cookie dough. Sometimes it's so easy, I almost feel bad. Honestly, the secret to impressing people is this. Individual portions, packaged in mason jars. I even remember to leave room on top for vanilla ice cream. I squeeze all the way up against the armrest of the couch to make room for Cassie and Mina. Except it ends up being pointless. They kind of perch there for 5 minutes, until Cassie says she has a book she needs to find for Mina. Funny how this task seems to require both of them. Even funnier how they come down half an hour later, with no book. I'll be staying in Cassie's room for a few days until Grandma goes home. We actually used to share this room. Cassie never got rid of her bunk beds, so when we have house guests, I reclaim my bottom bunk. It's like stepping back through time. But of course, I can't sleep. Again. My mind won't stop churning. I fluff up my pillow and stare at the underside of Cassie's bed frame, which is still lined with glow-in-the-dark animal stickers. And probably decade-old boogers. I wasn't the classiest child. I roll over, and the bed creaks, and I hear Cassie sigh. Molly, go to sleep. I'm trying. Try harder. For a moment, we're quiet. I know you're still awake, she says. So are you. But I have an excuse. I'm lovesick. I draw up into a sitting position, cross-legged beneath my blanket. How do you know I'm not lovesick, too? Wait, what? She swings her torso down over the side of the bed, peering at me, upside down. I'm kidding. No, you're not. Oh, my God. He texted you, didn't he? Who are we talking about? I ask, trying to sound nonchalant. But my heart starts fluttering wildly. I don't know how she knows Reed texted me. Unless she's actually talking about the mysterious dancing bee ladies. So, here's the thing, she says. It's dark, but I can see her twist of a smile. She whips her head back up, but moments later, her feet dangle over the side of the top bunk. She pushes off with her arms and lands neatly on the ground in a crouch. There's a ladder. She never uses it. Another fundamental difference between us.
Mina and I might have given Hipster Will your number.
What?
Oh, man. I really thought he was going to text you.
She sinks onto the end of my bed, tugging her pajama shorts down.
He wimped out, huh? What a dipshit.
I don't understand.
Molly, this is part of the mission. The boyfriend thing? I told you, we're making this happen.
She shakes her head.
I can't believe he didn't text you.
I blush. I think he did.
What?
I push my bangs out of my face. I don't know. I got a text from a random number, but I didn't know who it was.
Holy shit, what an idiot. He didn't tell you it was him?
I shake my head.
What did he say?
I don't even know if it was actually him. I paw around the floor for my phone and tug it out of the charger. Here. I pull up the text and hand her my phone. She laughs.
Yeah, that's Will. He sent you the bee ladies?
Apparently.
Oh my god, I'm dying. I have to tell Mina.
She rubs her cheeks.
That's so fucking great. You should write him back.
And say what?
Anything. Seriously, it doesn't matter. You just have to keep it going.
She leans back against my pillow and sighs.
I love this. I'm dating Mina, and now you're going to date her best friend.
I don't think that's happening. I feel warm. I must be utterly, inhumanly red right now.
Look, I'm just saying he's a good target for our boyfriend mission, okay? I really like him for you. He's sweet, he's cool, he's artsy, and he has great taste in music. And he's cute, right?
Yes, I say softly.
And he's Mina's best friend.
I know.
We always said we were going to marry best friends,
Cassie says. You and Mina are getting married? Wow.
Fuck you. You know what I mean.
But she's blushing.
I'm just saying, he's Mina's friend. That's very convenient for us. And I really think he likes you, Molly.
I shake my head. No, he doesn't.
Okay, you know what's fucked up?
She looks me straight in the eye.
That you don't even seem to think that's a possibility.
Well, I don't. But I do. I mean, I honestly don't know.
12. And now Cassie won't stop talking about it. The Will thing. She's being a little too hardcore. I know for sure she's consulted with Abby, Olivia, and Mina. It's really pretty embarrassing. It would be nice if I were the kind of person who didn't require a battalion of wingwomen to make this happen. I just feel like I'm a really defective girl in some ways. So now I'm wearing this black top I got a couple of weeks ago, with an empire waist and a black lace overlay. I've worn it before, though always with a camisole underneath and a cardigan over. Except Cassie has forbidden both the camisole and the cardigan. And she pulled me into the bathroom for smoky eyeshadow, and then Olivia made my hair wavy, and the attention of them dressing me felt strange. But not bad.
You look so pretty, Cassie had said. Doesn't she look so pretty?
And Olivia paused for a moment before agreeing.
Yeah, you really do.
I felt this warm, happy flutter when she said that. And when I glance at myself in the window of the metro, I actually think they're right. I look okay. I look better than okay. I feel strangely brand new. We get off at Woodley Park and cross the bridge to Adams Morgan, and Mina and the boys are already waiting for us in front of the bar. Will is holding a man purse, but he's more pissed off than I've ever seen him.
Okay, this is ridiculous.
He runs a hand through his hair and huffs.
Since when is there an age limit for music?
It's a bar, says Cassie.
But it's not about the booze,
says Will.
It's about the music.
Look, I get it.
Why doesn't he get it?
Will stabs a finger in the general direction of the bouncer and, honestly, growls.
Whatever. Fuck him. You can still kind of hear it out here, Cassie says.
Not the same.
Here. Drink.
Cassie reaches into her purse and pulls out a thermos, passing it to him.
What's this?
Lemonade, she says.
Will sips it and turns to her, grinning.
With peach schnapps, she adds.
I want.
Mina reaches for the thermos.
And I want jumbo slice,
she adds, smiling extra contagiously.
20 minutes later, I'm packed tightly onto a wooden bench with Cassie, Mina, and Olivia, and I'm holding the most epic slice of pizza. And a Coke. And the boys are sort of hovering over us. There's this couple a few yards away gazing at each other really intensely, and Max is pretending to narrate their thoughts. And Cassie and Mina are trying to seem casual about the fact that they're holding hands, but their expressions are like sunshine through window shades. I feel happy. And a little lonely. But they're cute. And it's nice. I can't explain it. I guess it's this feeling of rightness. Like, I'm saying the right things, and I'm in the right place. Like I'm the right person. I wonder if that even makes sense. I lean over to whisper to Olivia about it, but then there's a nudge on the toe of my flat.
Hey,
Will says.
You never wrote back to my text.
Oh, I didn't... He laughs.
I'm just kidding. It's fine.
I didn't know it was you, I say. Cassie snickers, and I realize she and Mina are both listening.
Well, now you know.
His blue eyes meet mine, and I feel myself blush. I clear my throat. Is there any more schnapps? As it turns out, Will's man purse is full of 50 million miniature bottles of booze. No more schnapps, but he dumps an entire tiny bottle of rum into my Coke. Okay, that's... Cassie leans over to steal a sip. Wow, that's strong. To be honest, I don't have much to compare it to. I don't think I've ever had more than a sip of anything. I'm not supposed to, with my pills. But I just need something tonight. I need to not feel like myself for a minute. I'm wavy hair Molly. Cardigan-less Molly. Rum and Coke Molly. I think the street is tilting, says Cassie. Do you guys see that?
Oh, Mina says. You are not sober.
Nope. She nudges her head into the crook of Mina's shoulder. My head's a little fuzzy, and my chest is warm, but it's a cozy feeling. I like it. And when I look up, I see that Will is watching us and smiling. Oh my God. I could sit for 5 million hours and analyze the angles of his smile.
Are all of you drunk?
He asks. Maybe, I say. But out of the corner of my eye, I catch a glimpse of Olivia, who suddenly looks like a kid dragged to a cocktail party. She's shuffling her feet on the edge of the bench and fidgeting with her napkin. I turn toward her to say something, but Cassie flings an arm around me. Drunk Molly! I never thought I'd see the day.
I like drunk Molly. She's cool,
Will says.
I know, right?
Says Mina.
Need a refill?
Will asks. And Cassie gives me this look like she wants to mention the Zoloft. I ignore her. Yeah, okay, I say. And Will tilts his head and smiles down at me. He has a really bright smile. And I kind of like the way he's looking at me. I can't believe this messy-haired hipster boy in skinny jeans is looking at me like that. I feel this little surge of adrenaline or attraction or alcohol or something. It makes me nervous.
Why are you making zombie faces?
He asks. What?
Just relax.
Zombies are relaxed. He laughs.
You are so freaking funny.
I feel like this conversation is spinning too quickly, but maybe that's a good thing. And when I look up at Will again, his smile is smaller, but better. More intimate. And I'm blushing so hard I think my face is burning off.
So maybe Cassie was right about the cardigans. And maybe this is how it happens. Maybe this is actually happening. But I don't see how it could be. Because Will is so cute and so cool, and I'm just me. And I'm way out of my depth. It's like trying on a dress that doesn't quite fit.
I'm telling you, it's on, Cassie whispers.
Except it's not really a whisper, because oh my god, drunk Cassie is so fucking loud. I'm 100% positive Will can hear her, and Max can hear her. And all of 18th Street can hear her, and probably people in Antarctica can hear her. If there even are people in Antarctica. Are there people in Antarctica? Maybe a small settlement of explorers. I feel like Reed would know this. I have no idea why I think that. And I don't know why I'm even thinking about Reed. Especially when I'm sitting in the glow of Will Haley's tiny sunbeam smile.
I like him so much, Cassie adds, not so quietly.
He's your best crush yet.
I approve. Team Will.
Cass. Stop. I cut my eyes toward her. I feel so self-conscious. I feel like I'm naked on a giant circular stage with an audience extending out to infinity in all directions. It's a little unbearable. More than a little.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go, I say.
What? No, Cassie says.
Don't leave. I'm not ready.
You can stay. It's fine.
And you're just going to Metro home by yourself? Cassie asks.
Molly, you're drunk.
So are you.
She stares me down.
I'll go with her, Olivia says after a moment.
Cassie narrows her eyes at both of us, but I know she's not going to argue. She wants to stay too badly.
You better text me when you get home, she says, squeezing my hand.
Sure, I say, trying not to laugh, because the protective sister thing is cute, but I'm pretty sure Cassie's not going to be sitting here waiting for my text. It's probably hard to check your phone when you're suctioned onto Mina's face.
We'll leave soon, okay? She says. I'll see you at home.
Another thing I'm not sure I believe. The farther we walk from Adams Morgan, the more Olivia relaxes.
Sorry, I'm just feeling kind of off tonight, she says as we approach the bridge. I think I just need to get home and into pajamas so I can Netflix and chill with Titania.
Titania. The dog.
I press a hand to my mouth.
Olivia, you cannot Netflix and chill with Titania. That does not mean what you think it means.
Wait, I'm confused. She says,
I think you Netflix and chill with Evan, I say, letting my eyebrows explain the rest.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to watch Netflix.
She looks slightly traumatized. I know. Oh, God. Me too.
And it's true. Even hearing the word Netflix has a way of centering me.
Netflix means not having to suck in your stomach or think of anything smart or adorable to say. It means a whole night of not wondering what people think about you. No alcohol, and no flirtation, and no confusion, and every organ calm and settled. Perfect. Exactly what I want. Except there's this tiny, perverse part of me that wants to run back down 18th Street to hear Will Haley say I'm so freaking funny. Even though that's the quickest way to unsettle my organs. And it's the literal opposite of Netflix. But that's me. I always want opposite things.
Molly? Says Olivia. You're sort of zigzagging.
Oh, oops.
You sure you're okay?
I'm totally okay.
Okay.
She bites her lip.
Hey, do you mind if I call Evan really quickly? I want to catch him before he goes to bed.
Here are the facts about Evan Schulmeister. He falls asleep at 10:30 with earplugs and a retainer and wakes up at 5 to run 3 miles. Every day.
Totally, totally fine, I say. I think I'm saying totally a lot.
I'm totally saying totally a lot. This must be a special feature of drunk Molly. Just like regular Molly, but with 150% more totallys. Olivia pulls out her phone and walks a few steps ahead of me, and I take my phone out too. My head feels funny. Light and spinny and wobbly. But my brain still works well enough to text. Abby, what are you doing right now? I really, really kiss you. Haha, miss you, not kiss you, I add. And now I'm walking along the bridge, and Olivia's still talking to Evan, even though she's seeing him on Sunday. I mean, she's literally driving up to Pennsylvania to see him in 2 days, and she's still cradling the phone like every second on the line is precious stolen time. That Evan Schulmeister. So I just amble along behind her, pulling out my phone every few seconds to see if Abby's written back. Which she hasn't. I text her again. Abby, my love, where are you? Then I almost bump into someone. But I feel my phone buzz, finally. And it's Abby. Except it's not actually Abby, because the text says, Hey, sorry, this is Simon. Abby fell asleep. Want me to wake her up? Oh, hi, Simon. That's okay. This is her cousin Molly, by the way. I check the spelling a few times. I don't want to be incoherent drunk Molly for my first conversation with Simon. The Simon. Abby's new best friend. My replacement. Ha 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 ha. Ha. Yeah, it's not funny. Hi, cousin Molly, Simon writes. I can't believe she's asleep already, I say. I know. She fell asleep watching Harry Potter. Side-eye emoji. I write back frantically. What? That is the worst. She is the worst. She's a squib, he writes, which makes me smile all the way to Woodley Park. Olivia doesn't hang up until we step onto the escalator, and she's quiet for a few minutes. She's always like that after talking to Evan. I think it takes her a minute to shift back to the regular world. Probably because he's such a sex god. Rein in your hotness, Evan Schulmeister. For Olivia's sake. For the world's sake. But we get on a train almost right away, and we even get a seat together. It's a miracle. It's the neighbor guy from Kimmy Schmidt saying, It's a miracle. It's that miraculous. Except I think I need to vomit, and that's probably not allowed. Not on the metro. Not on Olivia. I breathe in and out until the wave of nausea passes. Just a few more stops. I keep replaying the night in my mind, trying to make sense of it, and my hand trails across my breastbone. All that skin. Patty calls it décolletage. It's kind of a sexy thing, even though sexy isn't a word I usually associate with myself. But I kind of felt like that tonight. I actually think Hipster Will was flirting. With me. The train passes Rhode Island Avenue, and Olivia tucks her knees up and rests her chin on top of them. Which is a pretty impressive position to assume in a metro seat, especially when you're 6 feet and change. She tilts her head toward me and smiles. So, Will texted you? Sort of. How do you sort of text someone? I close my eyes and lean back. I don't know. Well, I think Cass and Mina forced him to. Olivia giggles. No, I mean it, I say. I'm pretty sure Cassie made Mina harass him until he did it.
So Cassie forced Mina to force Will to text you?
Exactly. Olivia's tiny smile.
Yeah, you might be overthinking this.
But here's the thing Olivia doesn't get. I'm not trying to overthink things. I'm trying to be less careful. But you have to be your heart's own goalie. And if I'm going to be rejected, I want to see it coming. 13. I wake up to my phone buzzing. 4 texts from Abby.
Were you drunk texting Simon on my phone last night? And I'm not a squib.
What's a squib?
Did you seriously get drunk?
I can't move yet. I stare at my light fixture. I've never noticed this, but it's collecting a thin layer of dust. And a bulb is burned out. I should fix that, eventually. Maybe when I'm slightly less catatonic. But I really should get out of bed. It's the 4th of July. That's actually a pretty big deal in our neighborhood. There's a parade with papier-mâché animal heads and clowns and entire floats dedicated to composting. That is the thing here. Moving platforms decorated to honor decayed perishables. Cassie's rustling in the bunk bed above me.
Oh, hey,
she says finally, her voice thick with sleep.
You up?
Kind of. She laughs.
Me too. Last night was something.
I'm scared to know what she means by that. Maybe something happened after Olivia and I left. Maybe drunk Cassie evolved into drunk as fuck Cassie, or even the ultimate shit-faced Cassie. I don't even want to imagine what shit-faced Cassie might have said about me to Will. Shit-faced Cassie is not known for her carefulness. I squeeze my eyes shut and try to think of something neutral. Anything. My 4th of July outfit. A pale denim shirt dress over navy leggings with white stars. And I don't care if anyone side-eyes me for wearing leggings in July, because I am not here for chub rub. Also, they're very patriotic leggings. But then Cassie shifts, and the bed creaks, and I'm nervous all over again. I feel like the two negative ends of a magnet. Like, there are parts of me that can't come together. If Cassie did say something to Will, I want to know. But also, I never want to know.
Hey, so I invited Mina to the parade and fireworks and stuff, Cassie says suddenly.
Oh, okay.
Are you cool with that?
I sit up slowly.
Why wouldn't I be? Because, I don't know.
I hear her yawn.
I know that's usually our thing.
And it's true. Normally, Cassie and I watch the parade together. And yes, under normal circumstances, the idea of Mina tagging along might bother me a little. But I'm so preoccupied by boy drama right now that it barely even registers. It occurs to me that this may be exactly why Cassie wants me to have a boyfriend in the first place. She hoists off the top bunk a moment later, sliding in beside me under my blanket.
Anyway, you and Will were so cute last night.
Okay. I hug my knees.
For real, he was totally flirting with you. Mina gave him so much shit after you left.
What did she say to him? I blurt. Cassie just smiles, and I feel this wave of quiet panic.
Cassie, what? Oh my God, stop worrying.
Why are you smiling?
Because you actually like this guy, and it's so fucking cute. Crush number 27, right?
I don't have a crush on Will. Cassie laughs.
Okay.
Wait. Did you tell him I did?
Molly,
no, stop freaking out.
Okay.
And for a moment, she's silent.
But like, okay, real talk, she says finally. This boyfriend thing, do you actually want this to happen?
I don't know. I guess so. She rolls her eyes.
That's a yes, and that's great, okay? You're allowed to want this.
I bite my lip.
But at some point, you have to put yourself on the line, you know?
Okay, I know she's right. I mean, my brain knows it. But I can't seem to get the rest of me on board. It's like trying to hold my breath. There's this protective thing inside of me that opens my mouth, unpinches my nose. I know, I say.
Like, say Will knew you were interested. What's the worst that could happen?
He'd reject you?
So what? You move on to crush number 28.
Move on. So what? But there's this awfulness that comes when a guy thinks you like him. It's as if he's fully clothed and you're naked in front of him. It's like your heart suddenly lives outside your body, and whenever he wants it, he can reach out and squeeze it. Unless he happens to like you back. I don't want to third wheel it with Cassie and Mina, so I end up going to a parade-watching party near the dance exchange with my moms, and Zave, and Grandma. Wild times. It's hosted by these people Nadine knows from baby group, so the party is full of babies. I am 17 years old, and this is my social life. Zave immediately starts climbing on some other baby's stroller, and my moms and grandma drink lemonade on the front steps. All the adults are super relaxed. There are boobs out all over the place, and half-naked toddlers with foam pool noodles and cloth diapers everywhere. I recognize a few of the adults, who seem to know I'm one of Xavier's sisters, but don't know which one. I don't think they actually care which one I am. They mainly seem interested in where I'm applying to college. I mean, maybe I should start carrying flyers with my list of schools ranked by preference. Or maybe, these random adults should reflect on why they give a shit in the first place.
Hey, Nadine says, catching my eye. You okay?
What?
You seem like...
kind of surly. I'm feeling kind of surly.
Okay, well, now you're smiling, she says. Way to ruin it.
But she's right. I am surly and moody and not quite myself. This must be a hangover thing. Or a Cassie making my brain hurt thing. Either way, I'm clearly unfit for human company right now. But then I glance across the street, just in time to see Reed step onto the sidewalk. Reed Wertheim. Here, of all places. And he looks as surprised to see me as I am to see him. I cross the street to greet him. What are you doing here?
I live here.
He points to a little blue bungalow. No way. I grin. He grins back, and for a minute, we're both quiet. But my heart beats really quickly, and it's actually kind of nice.
So, what are you doing here?
He asks. I glance across the street at the party house, and of course, Patty, Nadine, and Grandma are all watching me. Breaking news! Molly is speaking to an actual boy! Tune in now as the story unfolds. I mean, at least my moms have the dignity to glance away when I catch them. Grandma gives me a thumbs up. I turn to Reed quickly. Want to take a walk?
Oh, sure.
He does this flush-cheeked kind of smile.
But I have to be back at the store in about 45 minutes. I was just grabbing lunch.
Wait, I don't want you to miss your lunch.
I don't care. I'd rather walk around with you. Really.
Oh. My heart is pounding. Why is my heart pounding? We walk up Maple, and I feel tongue-tied. Not even tongue-tied. I mean, my tongue isn't the problem. It's my brain. It's like this. Me. Hey, brain, let's think of something cool to say. Brain. Me. Okay, it doesn't have to be cool, just something semi-coherent. Brain. Me. Come on, brain, give me something. Brain. White noise. Shit, shit, shit.
Hey, how'd the cookie dough turn out?
Reed asks finally. Oh, I laugh. I actually did save you some.
Really?
His eyes light up behind his glasses. Really? And it came out awesome. Finally, finally, something unlocks in my brain, and I'm me again. I think it tastes better than regular cookie dough. The consistency's slightly different, but in a good way. You'll like it.
I know I will.
We can grab it right now if you want. It's just at my house, which is 2 blocks away. I live 2 blocks from Reed. I have to admit, there's something quietly thrilling about this. I'm bringing a boy to my house. For cookie dough purposes. Totally platonic. But still. A boy. My house.
You know, I didn't put this together before,
Reed says, following me through the back door.
But I actually walk by your house sometimes with my cat.
I smile up at him. With your cat? Like, on a leash?
Yeah, it has a little harness thing on it. But just the gray cat, Elefante.
He shrugs.
The other ones aren't into it.
I can't believe I've never noticed you walking a cat in front of my house.
Maybe I should stop wearing my invisibility cloak.
I laugh and head toward the kitchen. So the cookie dough is in the fridge. Do you want vanilla ice cream on top? He tilts his head.
Do I?
I think you do. I open the fridge and dig it out from behind Patty's extensive Greek yogurt collection. He beams when he sees it.
You put my name on it?
I did. Which, of course, necessitated a very brief trip to Facebook. Not to stalk, just to confirm the spelling, R-E-I-D, as opposed to R-E-E-D. But yes, Reed Wertheim has a Facebook profile. And yes, Reed Wertheim is single. Not that it matters. I just happened to notice. Oh, right. You need ice cream, I say quickly.
I'm pretty sure I'm about to be ruined for all other food, Molly.
And I'm about to make a wise-ass comment about mini eggs, but there's a sudden burst of laughter from upstairs. I'm so startled I almost jump. I definitely thought Reed and I were the only ones home. But then I hear Cassie's voice, and Mina's low, husky laugh, and oh.
Oh.
And all I can think is this. Dear God, please let this not be sex. Is that even a thing? Daytime 4th of July sex? Because I'm pretty sure I won't survive overhearing sex in the presence of Middle Earth Reed. I look at him. He looks at me. And then I hear the familiar creaking thud of Cassie's footsteps on the stairs. She and Mina appear in the kitchen doorway moments later. Fully clothed. Holding hands. Well, I didn't know you were home, Cassie says. We just got here. Aw, Molly, you look so cute and patriotic, says Mina. And then she looks up at Reed.
Oh, hey.
Reed looks startled.
Hey, Mina.
I look back and forth between them. Wait, you know each other? Reed nods.
We go to school together.
Cassie peers up at him. But I don't know you. Oh, this is Reed, I say, trying to sound casual. Which shouldn't be this difficult. This should be an effortlessly casual situation. And this is my sister, Cassie. Oh, you're the guy from work, Cassie says. There's this hanging pause, during which Reed nods, and I blush, and Mina looks at Cassie, and then the freezer starts beeping. So I shut it quickly and pass the ice cream to Reed. Super casual. Though now Reed knows I've mentioned him to Cassie, which is pretty great. Let's just add him to the list of guys who now think I'm obsessed with them. Anyway, Olivia's meeting us at the Cheesecake Place, Cassie says. Come with us. Right now? She nods. Put some ice cream in there and let's go. Reed has to go back to work, but he walks with us up Tulip Avenue, hugging the jar of cookie dough to his chest. He and Mina end up talking about this teacher from their school, and I'm still kind of thrown by the fact that they know each other. It's not like I mind, but it's this little shift in my head. And I guess it kind of sucks that he seems to have forgotten about me. I mean, maybe this teacher they're talking about is a really interesting person. None of my teachers are that interesting, to be honest. But when we get to the Cheesecake Bakery, Reed turns to me suddenly.
Okay, well,
he says, and his hand hovers close to me, like he's about to rest it on my shoulder. Or maybe he's about to hug me. Maybe. It would definitely be cool if my brain could keep functioning right now. But there must be a force field around me, because Reed whips his hand back and wraps his hands around the mason jar like a baseball bat.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll see you at work,
he says, waving briefly. Then he grips the mason jar even tighter and starts walking toward town.
I can't believe you work with Reed Wertheim,
Mina says, pushing through the door of the bakery. She holds the door for Cassie and me.
I've known him since first grade. He's so sweet.
Just like someone else I know, Cassie says, grinning and elbowing me.
Because that's the word I get, too. Sweet. I'm pretty famous for it, actually.
every yearbook I own is filled with, "You're the sweetest, stay sweet."
Sometimes spelled like sweat.
"He's kind of cute," Cassie adds. "What's his deal?"
"Reed?" Mina asks.
"Yeah, like, is he single?" asks Cassie, and my whole body goes on high alert. I mean, Reed's Facebook profile said single. Capital S, single. But maybe he's one of those people who never updates his profile. Not that it matters.
"Oh my God, this place is cute," Mina says, peering up the staircase at the front of the bakery.
"Right," Cassie says, taking the steps two at a time. Mina and I follow her up.
"So, this is literally a cheesecake bakery," Mina says, laughing. "How did I not know about this?"
"I guess you should hang out here more or something," Cassie says.
"I guess you're right."
She smiles, and Cassie threads their fingers together, just for a minute. Probably no one even notices but me. I look quickly away, eyes on the display cases. "What's up, cheesecakes? I'm just going to stare at you forever." Because when a tender moment happens between any two people, I turn into an 11-year-old boy. It is my most consistent talent. I don't think I've ever been so happy to see Olivia show up. We order some cheesecakes and bring them to a table. "So, wait, back to Reed," Cassie says, leaning toward her. "We still need the info on him." I could hug her. "Not that I care. I'm just curious. But still."
"Right," Mina says. "Well, he's definitely single. Oh God, how to explain Reed?"
She tilts her head.
"Like, he's one of those Renfair guys. Season pass, full costume."
Olivia smiles. "Aw, I love Renfair guys."
"Yeah, I don't know. I'd say he's the kind of guy you marry, but not the kind of guy you date. Or have sex with."
Mina wrinkles her nose. Which pisses me off. Are there really people who just aren't the sex type? I mean, obviously there are asexual people, but that's different. I guess I'm wondering this. Can a person be fundamentally sexually repulsive? I mean, maybe Reed's not cool or muscular enough for sex. And if I like him anyway, what does that say about me? Is it because I'm scared to like someone hotter? I'm not saying I like him, but if I did. Hypothetically. I mean, Abby dates geeks. But when you're that pretty, you can date anyone. And people know you pick the geek on purpose. Like, you could have had the hot guy, but you didn't want him. But when you're a fat geek who likes another fat geek, everyone assumes you're settling. I feel a little sick. I can't explain it.
"Anyway, Will was seriously flirting with you last night," Mina says. "Okay."
I feel my face grow warm. I don't know. I can't entirely process the idea that someone like Will was actually flirting with me.
"It's so perfect, too, because even if the boyfriend thing doesn't work out, you could always hook up with him. He's great about that. I promise, he wouldn't even be weird about it the next day."
I just look at her. To be honest, I kind of wonder how she knows that. "Well, Molly would be weird about it," Cassie points out. And under the table, she presses her foot against mine, side by side. "I would not."
"You would,"
Olivia says. I mean, they're right. I'd be super weird. I'd get quiet and self-conscious, and I'd probably wonder for the rest of my life what Will thought about my kissing abilities. Or lack thereof. I feel really jittery all of a sudden, and I need to do something with my hands. I take out my phone, and I have 2 missed texts from Reed. I take a bite of chocolate cheesecake and tap into my messages.
"Okay, so my official assessment of the cookie dough is..."
Cat emoji with heart eyes. Thumbs up emoji. Trophy emoji. Beefy muscle arm emoji. Blissful eyes closed smiling emoji. And there's that same soft prickle in my abdomen.
He's pretty good with emojis. Olivia leaves to hang out with her mom, but Cassie, Mina, and I spend the afternoon wandering around the back streets. Just the three of us. I feel a little strange, like maybe I'm vag-blocking them just by being here. But every time I try to leave them alone, they follow me. I have to admit, it's kind of nice. I guess they actually want to spend the day with me, even if it means fewer opportunities for making out. Maybe my company is even better than making out, which is pretty much my goal as a human being, honestly. After dinner, we walk down to the middle school for fireworks. The field behind the school is already packed with people. On lawn chairs, on blankets, eating organic kale chips and jiggling babies. We spread out our mom's big Fear the Turtles blanket, and we settle in together. And then Mina takes a group selfie. And then I fold my hands behind my head and let my eyes slide shut, just listening. There's this jumble of sounds. People laughing, kids shrieking, and my heart beating along with the community marching band. I feel almost electric. Hey. There's a tap on my arm. I open my eyes. Look at this. Mina stretches her arm over Cassie to pass me her phone. What am I looking at? Just read it, she says, grinning. It's a text from Will. I guess she sent him the selfie and he wrote back, BRB, just sulking forever. Why is he sulking? I ask, heat rising in my cheeks.
Because there's a cute girl here and he's stuck at home babysitting.
I can't wrap my mind around it. The idea that not hanging out with me would drive hipster Will to sulking. And if it's true, I can't decide if it's thrilling or terrifying. It's funny. A few hours ago, I was obsessing over Reed. Maybe obsessing is the wrong word. But running into him did something to my heartbeat. And when I thought he might hug me, I kind of definitely almost lost my shit. It's like I'm thinking about him as a crush, not a coworker. But suddenly, there's Will. It's hard to know what to make of this. I've always been a very monogamous crusher. But my head's all mixed up about this. When I close my eyes, it's so easy to picture Will beside me. The bright blue eyes and the wildly red hair, both dimmed by the sunset. Dating Will would feel like a seatbelt clicking into place. Everything lined up just as it should be. Mina and Cassie. Will and me. It's just strange that my mind keeps circling back to hazel eyes and stupidly white sneakers. Cassie nudges me suddenly. Hey, they're starting! I open my eyes. And the first thing I notice isn't the crackling streak of the first firework. It's Mina's leg, draped over Cassie's. It's their hands, laced together, resting softly on Mina's stomach. 14. My eyes slide open at sunrise, and I feel a little unmoored. It's still surprising, waking up on the bottom bunk. Above me, Cassie breathes softly. Not a snore, just those Cassie sleep sounds she's made since we were little. It's funny, the things that change and the things that don't. I wander downstairs in my pajamas to find Nadine in the kitchen, sipping coffee. Zave still sleeping? I ask. Never, she scoffs. He's in the living room with Grandma. She's leaving today? Tomorrow morning, Nadine says. How were the fireworks? Literally the best ever, I say. She laughs. I smile faintly. What? Nothing's ever just the best. Gotta be literally the best. There's a sudden loud wail from the living room.
Yep, there we go, Nadine says, setting down her mug.
I follow her into the living room, where Xavier has flung himself backward in Grandma Betty's arms, sobbing.
What's going on, baby? Nadine asks. What is so terrible?
It's this terrifying pigeon, Grandma says, holding up a picture book.
Hey, Nadine says, raising a finger. Don't you diss, pigeon.
Grandma laughs, and I sink onto the couch next to her.
How are you doing, Mamala?
She strokes the back of my hair.
Pretty good.
Now, you're not working today, are you? I shake my head. Good. You girls work too hard. I think you should just take the day and relax.
Well, I need to get started on wedding centerpieces.
You're doing the centerpieces? Grandma asks. I nod. Well, that's very ambitious. How can I help?
And she actually does seem up for it. So I let her cover the dining room table with newspapers while I grab mason jars and paint from the basement. I hand her a paintbrush. So I saw this in a tutorial on YouTube.
Now, is that like the band?
She asks.
What?
Nadine pokes her head in the doorway, grinning.
She's talking about you too.
Oh, no, this is different. YouTube is like... I trail off. I mean, how does a person explain YouTube to her 70-year-old grandmother? I give up and start organizing my paints. I have these totally badass, magical Martha Stewart paints in pastel colors, and you can use them on anything, even fabric. Sometimes I paint tiny flowers on the collars of my cardigans. My theory is that it's impossible to plan a wedding without Martha Stewart paints, and I suspect there are studies that prove this.
These are lovely, Grandma says.
I show her where to paint and how thickly to coat it, and we settle into a sort of quiet rhythm.
You've gotten to be so artistic.
It takes me a minute to realize why I'm blushing. But then I remember. I've had this conversation before.
With Will.
And Cassie being mortifyingly unsubtle as usual.
You know, my mother was artistic. Your bubby? She was a wonderful seamstress.
She leans forward.
She had a Model 201 Singer sewing machine, and she sewed all our clothing. They were beautiful pieces. The girls at school used to ask me where I bought my dresses.
I nod, feeling like I should say something.
She'd be so proud of you, Mamala.
I have this sudden vision of my great-grandma high-fiving my other ancestors in Cassie's reality TV version of heaven.
Now, tell me, do you have a sewing machine?
I shake my head. I just use a needle.
Oh, well, we'll have to do something about that, Molly. It will change your life.
Okay. I smile. Suddenly, I hear Cassie's footsteps on the stairs. Hey, I'm heading out, she calls.
Hold up.
Nadine steps into the living room, Zave balanced on her hip.
Where are you going?
To Mina's.
Okay, but I need you back by dinner. It's your grandmother's last night.
Okay, we were gonna...
Nope. You're gonna be right here with your butt in this chair by 6 o'clock. Got it?
Cassie starts typing on her phone and doesn't respond. Nadine shakes her head.
Yo, put the phone away. This is not how conversations work.
I'm texting Mina.
Yeah, I know.
Cassie's eyes flash. Okay, I was literally texting her to say I need to be home at 6, which you'd know if you just gave me a second without interrupting.
Whoa, Nadine says. You don't get to talk to me that way. Now, you're not going anywhere.
What?
You just earned yourself a day at home with your family.
Nadine shrugs. Are you kidding me? Because I sent a text? That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, your language? Also not okay.
Cassie throws her hands in the air. Since when do you care?
You know what?
Nadine starts to say, but Cassie interjects. This is bullshit. Where's Patty? She's delivering a baby, I say. Cassie huffs and sinks into a chair. Do you want to help us paint mason jars? I ask after a moment. Cassie laughs harshly. No.
Wow, I say.
Jesus Christ, Molly, stop.
I'm not doing anything.
Ugh, you're looking at me like... No, I mean, no offense, but do I want to paint fucking mason jars with you and Grandma? Or do I want to hang out with my girlfriend?
There's this awful throbbing silence.